On behalf of the Morrow family, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here today. We thank you for being here. Before we get started with our service, I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. So if you would bow your heads as we go to our Heavenly Father. Lord God, our loving Father who art in heaven, we're so thankful, Father, that this day is here that we can gather together in a building, that we can gather, Father, without fear of harm, that we can celebrate, Father, the life and the memories of Brother Gordon Morrow. We're thankful, Father, that we had the opportunity to know him. We're thankful for the Christian life that he led and for the example of a Christian that he led to his family and to his friends. And we pray, Father, that thou will comfort the Morrow family at this time in their time of need. And we pray, Father, that thou will give them strength to continue on in their life and to continue to live a Christian life as Gordon would have them to do. Father, many have come from long distance away, and we thank you, Father, for getting them here safe. And we pray, Father, that thou will guide them home. Father, these things that we pray is in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Would you please take a songbook and turn to number 344. This was one of Gordon's favorite hymns, "Each Step I Take," that proclaims God's faithfulness to us all along our journey. Number 344.
Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal is in his hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until some someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home.
Indeed, I will forever remember Gordon Morrow as I sing the words of this song in the future of my life. It was he that taught me this very song as we moved here some 4 years ago, and I have grown to appreciate the song even as Gordon did. During this time of reflection, we ought to consider the fact that life is no small matter. Death is a reality. Seeing that this is the case, the New Testament writers in James chapter 4 and verse 14 declared, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." We ought to understand that this life of ours, God never intended for it to be an eternal life here upon this earth. There were some days in the ancient times when men lived for 1,000 years. But now, of course, we understand that God has limited our days and the number of our days here upon this earth, and we ought to consider that it is temporary. This being the case, we ought to have the same mentality that the psalmist did in Psalm 90 and verse 12, having understood that men would only dwell upon this earth for a short amount of time. So then teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This was the concept of the psalmist, and this no doubt should continue to be the concept of ourselves, as no doubt it was for Gordon. God has left us his word. He has left us to understand his will. And in the ancient times, we can also recall the statements that were made by men, men of faith, men of devotion and loyalty, like Moses. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, where there he set before the Israelite peoples life and death, blessings and cursings. But he exhorted them, "Choose life, that it might be well with thee." Knowing that life is brief, we have two passages that we could walk. We could either walk the course of the world, which would only lead to ruin and destruction, or we could follow the example of Gordon and walk in the path of righteousness, which shall ultimately lead to eternal life. When we have this mindset and we live here upon this earth and we continually do the will of God, we walk the will of God, we talk the will of God, we think upon God's will, and everything that we do, we have God first in our sight, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written in the book of Psalms 116 and verse 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Only when we have this kind of life will this become a reality. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And as we contemplate men like Gordon and the life that he led, the family that he reared, no doubt the impact that he has had upon his grandchildren and family members altogether, we realize that perhaps this particular passage can be said of him: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But let us take note here the concept of being precious in the sight of God. In the scriptures, the word precious is used in various places with regard to physical things here upon this earth. On several occasions in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, You have the idea of precious stones or precious jewels, precious silver and gold, precious ointment. Well, just consider how men hold these things in high esteem, greatly valued, will bring great benefit and advantage to the one who possesses such blessings. Well, now take that idea and that concept and bring it now in the eyes of God, the death of a saint. The death of a saint is precious. It is highly valued. It is greatly esteemed in God's sight. Now, do we understand the profound message of this idea? What this declares to us is that God, in all of the activities that He is involved in, pauses for a moment and He considers the life and the death of His faithful child. We all, our lifetime, are looking forward to be pleasing to our God. We continually stress this in the worship service, in our daily life. Let us faithfully keep the commandments of God. But as we consider here, God is looking down upon us. If you turn just several Psalms back to the book of Psalm 14, we know that God is looking down from heaven and He is wanting to find individuals that will do His will, that will keep His commands. And this is not only true of these days when this was written, but also of our day and time. In Psalm 14 and verse 2, the Bible reads, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." This is still His mentality. This is still what He is waiting and watching for. And when one of His saints, a faithful servant of His, passes from this life, it is held, even as men hold silver and gold and precious stones and precious ointments in the eyes of God. Because of this, we ought to rejoice. We know that because our loved one has departed from us and no longer shall we have His presence, no longer shall we hear His voice, no longer shall we dwell as we hug and embrace Him. Know that God has given mankind the hope of eternal life, that Gordon had the opportunity, and being faithful to God, God will reward such a one. For this we are thankful, and we rejoice. But what made Gordon precious as a saint in the sight of God? You will know as well as I do that he was a man of strong devoted to the Lord, of strong faith. He was one that had the church in his mind constantly. I have only known him for a short time in my life. Many of you all may have known him for many more years, but he was truly one that demonstrated a care and a concern for the congregation that he shepherded. He was one that demonstrated a care and concern for the brotherhood worldwide. This was on his mind. And almost constantly, we never conversed about anything else except to converse about the matters of the church, both locally and abroad. Now, this type of man, following the scriptures of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, to love the brotherhood. This type of man, no doubt, is going to be precious in the sight of God. These are the very people that God is looking for as He is gathering up His family, His kingdom, to be with Him for an eternity. Men that will remain devoted to Him, regardless of how the winds of change might blow, regardless of how the pressures of life and the criticisms of men might come, he will stand strong in the eyes of God. He was one that no doubt loved his wife. He was one that no doubt loved his family. And I can remember From time to time, he would make mention of his grandchildren, of how honorable he felt for having children and grandchildren of that stature and of that nature. You ought to remember your grandfather. You ought to remember your father. He was a good man. And as you consider your life and how you are trying to lead about your life here on this earth, take note of the things that he had done. Take note of the strong devotion that he practiced and continue therein. May his legacy continue through you as you also seek to rear your children in the same concepts that he may have reared you. And finally, as we come to an end, we turn to passages like Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10, which perhaps concisely sums up the mentality that Gordon lived with. In Psalm 23 and verse 10, the words of Balaam were thus: "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." This was Gordon's mentality. He was going to stand, and he was going to die, no doubt, keeping the will of God. May we follow in these examples.
Take your hymnal once more. Turn to number 107. Number 107. "In the land of fadeless day lies the city foursquare. It shall never pass away, and there is no night there." "In the land of fadeless day lies the city foursquare. It shall never pass away, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain nor fears, and they count not time by years, for there is no night there. All the gates of pearl are made in the city foursquare. All the streets with gold are laid, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain nor fears, and they come not time by years, for there is no night there. And the gate shall never close to the city foursquare. There life's crystal river flows, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain nor fears, and they come not time by years, for there is no night there. There they need no sunshine bright in the city foursquare. For the Lamb is all the light, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain nor fears, and they come but time by years, for there is no night there.
Gordon Morrow was born in Harlingen, Texas, to B.F. and Lucille Danley Morrow in Harlingen, Texas, on October 22, 1932. He was married to Wanda Dobbs Morrow on December 26, 1950. Gordon attended Abilene Christian College, graduating with a degree in animal husbandry. He is survived by his wife, Wanda, his son and daughter-in-law, Mark and Glenda Morrow of Austin, Texas, daughter and son-in-law, Carol and Sam Beasley of Ridgeland, Mississippi, and son and daughter-in-law, Miller and Connie Morrow of San Antonio, Texas. He is also survived by his grandchildren, Jason Beasley, Eric and Dixie Beasley Livingston, Drew and Chandra Morrow Perkins, Paul and Melanie Morrow Partlow, Ryan and Elena Morrow, Bradley and Taryn Morrow, Danley Morrow, Megan Morrow, and Hillary Morrow, and seven great-grandchildren, one great-granddaughter having preceded him in death. Two brothers also survive him, Bobby in Katy, Texas, and Troy and Sandra Morrow of Austin, Texas. A few adopted children, Larry and Kelly DeLong, and their daughters Jackie and Rebecca of Quanah, Texas, and Thomas and Linda Stewart, and sons Benjamin and Everett of Franklin, Tennessee, also survived Gordon. Gordon was very active in church work, serving as an elder for the Adams Street Church of Christ for many years and for the Rangerville Church of Christ before moving to Beeville from the Rio Grande Valley in 1973. While in the valley, Gordon was a farmer. There are many things that many of you don't know about Gordon, I would imagine. First off, he met Wanda in the eighth grade. Now, what's interesting about that is they weren't in the same grade at the time. He had been in school at Rangerville and had just finished the sixth grade. And for junior high, the students from Rangerville went to San Benito. Now, whether this was divine intervention or a young man just seeing what he could get away with, when he showed up at school, he told them he was in the eighth grade. And so that's where he put him. They put him. Wanda was in the eighth grade at the time, and that's where they met. And it seems to have worked out fairly well. In high school, Gordon played football and was a right guard. And when he graduated, he and Wanda went off to Abilene Christian College together in the fall of 1950 and married in December of that year. They both finished college in 3.5 years and graduated in December of 1953, with Mark having been born in October of 1953. After college, they returned home to Rangerville to farm. During the Valley years, he was chosen as the outstanding young farmer of the Rio Grande Valley. He got his private pilot's license, was an avid motorcycle rider, and was on the advisory board at Abilene Christian College. And he served many years as president of the Cameron County Farm Bureau. After moving to Beeville in 1973, Gordon was involved in several business enterprises before retiring. Some of those jobs included serving as the Bee County Farm Bureau agent, managing Roberts and McKenzie Hardware Store, and owning and operating Beeville Hydraulics. So you see that Gordon did many things over his lifetime. And he was many things to many people. But to us, he was husband, daddy, granddaddy, father-in-law, brother, uncle, elder, and so on. He was loved by so many people, and we will greatly miss him.
God blessed granddaddy richly, and in turn blessed us through him. Would you turn to number 33? Count your blessings. Number 33, we'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Now three of Gordon's grandchildren will reflect and share memories.
This letter was written by Chandramaro Perkins after his first stroke in 2007, and we read it now as an expression of gratitude on behalf of his grandchildren. Dear Granddaddy and Grandmother, just in case what I told you last night ever seems fuzzy, I wanted you to have it in writing. Now you can remind yourself over and over again how special you are and what a difference you have made and continue to make in the world. Always, first and foremost, I want to thank you for the faith that you have passed down to me. It is because of the deep roots that have nurtured my faith over the years that it has not only survived many storms already in my life, but has triumphed. You taught my father as a child to believe and trust a living God who knows the number of hairs on his head. In turn, Daddy taught me about the one true God who hears every prayer I utter and desperately wants my devotion. It has been those facets of the Lord that I cling to in dark valleys. I want to thank you for being so steadfast in your faith. I have noticed and paid attention to the unwavering faithfulness of my family and have used it as a benchmark. You have also taught me that we all fall short many times, and it breaks my heart when I am weak against temptation. Thank you for also teaching me the value of true repentance. May God have mercy on me. I told you tonight that I'm not ready to say goodbye. That will be true for the rest of my life, I'm sure, selfish though it may be. But if God calls you out of this world or decides that it's my turn to go, I want to be sure you know how grateful I am to be a Maro. I'm so proud of my family, my heritage. You have given me an honorable name, and I pray fervently to further honor our family by giving glory to God for any good works people should perceive in me. Thank you for teaching me the importance of family. Thank you for playing silly games with me when I was young. Thank you for correcting my mistakes and showing grace to me. Thank you for planting in me an appreciation for the world around me, for finding the awe in scenic vistas, for finding joy in animals, and for finding beauty in flowers and greenery. Thank you for showing me what it means to work for a living and not to expect things to be handed to me. Your work ethic will serve me and my family well. Thank you for teaching me that some things never change: God's word, faithful marriage, good parenting, and our responsibility as Christians in the world. All these things I promise to teach my children. I am so thankful that God allowed me time to tell you all of these things. I had a wonderful time with you these few days and deeply want to make visits more often. There's still much I need to learn from you, like how to find a ripe fig. I adore you, Chandra. Genesis 18, verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him.
My Uncle Miller's family, Granddaddy's youngest son, is in Europe right now as Megan is studying abroad. So they're visiting her in Europe. So they sent me these things that they would like to express. Miller writes, I want to thank Dad for teaching me right from wrong. He was a man that saw things mostly in black and white, very little gray. He pattered what it meant to be a Christian man to me. He definitely was not without his light moments and sense of humor, though. I will love and miss him dearly. Connie says, it's hard to know what to say. I do remember one of the first times I was at the Morrows, early in Miller's and my relationship. We were eating at the kitchen table and Gordon made a joke. I don't remember what the joke was, as I was thinking, is he really joking? I had never heard him joke before. At that point, I knew he was trying to make me feel welcome and a part of the family. I certainly have felt accepted since then. He was an extraordinary person and a wonderful man of God. To him I owe much. I will miss him dearly. Hillary wants us to remember that Granddaddy always smelled like those Lifesaver mints, and that when she would get him to take a picture for her, that he would open his eyes really big and then look really goofy in the picture. She says those are the best ones. Megan says, my fondest memories of Granddaddy were when he'd sit and watch Home Alone with me. It always made it more fun because he'd giggle and laugh at the best parts. I still watch that movie and think of him because I can remember the scenes that he would laugh or comment on. Most of all, I love that he always smelled of cinnamon and peppermint and occasionally aftershave. I know it sounds silly, but when I chew Trident cinnamon gum or eat a peppermint Lifesaver, I immediately think of him and how much he enjoyed them. He never went anywhere without either. I admire him because of his faith in God and his lifetime walk with God. I know I will miss holding his hand and his great deep voice when saying a prayer before our meal. My family means so very much to me. I know that Granddaddy will be remembered, and he always holds a special place in my heart. I just wanted to share a memory that we had. They would always take Bradley and me to Thousand Trails Park, usually annually. I don't remember if it was there or not, but at some trip that we were at, Bradley decided he'd pierce my ear with a fishing hook. When he went back, he caught it, so Grandmother and Granddaddy had to perform a little surgery on me. But at those Thousand Trails expeditions, me and Bradley would always race to be the first to pop up the camper, crank it up, and Granddad would always make us take turns, and then we would set out all our picnic supplies and watch Granddaddy scare off all the raccoons with his slingshot. He was the master of the slingshot. Then I would make sure that I was good and covered in poison ivy, even after he taught me what it looked like, and then he would have to cure me of it, and then he took us out with our flashlights to watch all the deer. I looked forward to that trip all the time, and I pray that someday I can take my grandchildren out to see deer and cure them of their poison ivy and just have those special memories for them as Granddaddy did for me.
Good morning. Our family really appreciates y'all coming, and we're very grateful for the love that you have had for my grandmother and my granddaddy all these many years. My older brother lives in South Florida, and it's a long way to come in just a few days, but he is sad that he's missing us, and he has sent an email yesterday to be read today. He says, "As a child, Granddaddy was always someone you never wanted to upset or contradict. But as an adult, I came to realize he was a stone you could sharpen yourself against. He held to his beliefs as no one I ever met, unwaverable. From him, I have learned that it is most important to hold to what you believe, despite what anyone, friend or foe, may say. I have also come to know that a great deal can be said in a few words. He was never a man of many words, which gave great weight to each word he chose. Never have I met a man so grounded in family with such a view of toward heaven. He will be sorely missed on earth, but certainly welcome in heaven." The next thing I'm going to read is an email. Chandra and I spoke on Monday, and then I emailed her later, kind of discussing this is her first grandparent to lose and my second. My dad's mother passed away 4 summers ago. And so I was talking about how I felt when we lost Meemaw. So I've sort of reworded it because it's the same for Granddaddy. I have a sense of exhilaration. I know that's a bad word to use, but I'm so excited for him. Nearly 24 hours after he was gone, I'm wondering how it all is from his perspective. Had he been given a tour of heaven yet? Has he seen Jesus' face already? How many relatives has he been reunited with? His own parents and our Amberlee. The agony and the brokenness that I feel right now is mostly for grandmother. 50-plus years of marriage, and then facing the remaining unknown years alone without him, your best friend and your mate. That's tragic. I'm broken also for Miller and Mark and my own mother, missing their dad every day. And I'll miss him, and I'll think about him a lot, but it makes me sad mostly. But I also am filled with wonder at what his new life is like now. He has embodied the totality of Christian life. He dedicated his life to his family and to this church, and has done each of those things to the best of his ability, always with the motivation of love. There's no fear in death when life is lived like this. So all of these things lead me to take great comfort in the promises of our God. Jesus himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? We serve the Lord of the living. This doesn't make the missing go away, but it at least provides knowledge that the one I'm missing is alive with Christ. Perfect in every way, free from whatever sickness and physical problems he had. Christ is alive, and those who serve him are too. Salvation has a presentness to it. We are receiving the salvation of our souls. Eternity has already begun. Only in our next life, the perfect one where sin can't touch us, will continue when our bodies are through. None of this will make missing our granddaddy much easier. It will not make letting him go easier. And it's the letting go that hurts the most. But we can trust the one who is caring for him now. Thanks for listening.
Therefore, there is no death in Christ. Would you turn to number 536? Where the soul never dies. Number 536.
To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewell. paradise. All roses blooming there for me, where the soul never dies. And I will spend eternity where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. A love light beams across the foam where the soul never dies. It shines to light the shores of home where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. My life will end in deathless sleep where the soul never dies, and everlasting joys I'll reap where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love. On my way to that fair land where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting hand and the soul never dies. No sad farewells, there'll be dim eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. Amen.
Just a couple of brief announcements. After this closing prayer, the casket will be opened if any of you would like to come by and would like to see Granddaddy one last time. Anything you'd like to say? Also, Granddaddy will be buried next to his parents at the Rest Lawn Memorial Park in Lafaria, Texas, 1 p.m. tomorrow, and you're invited to attend that as well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you today for the blessing of the life of Granddaddy, Gordon Morrow. We thank you for the fun times we had with him and all that we learned from him. We thank you that he's now where he's always wanted to be, at home with you. He often told us of all the questions he wanted to ask you and Paul and Moses. Please give strength to the rest of us he left behind. Help us remember the great Christian example he was for us and the fervor he had to follow your will. Help us to honor him by following that example. We love you and your Son, our Savior. It's in his name that we ask these things. Amen.